There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Phone number and text line, they're the same digits to get in touch with the show. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106 gets you through, and you can contact us. Also, this segment of the show brought to you by my buddy, Clint Jamison at Adventure Earth Bicycles. Let me just throw this in, and maybe I'll get some chime in from my buddy John Sharp, who joins us here in a second. But if you made exercise part of your New Year's resolution, you're going to get out, get more exercise, get moving out there. Obviously, bicycle is a great way to do it. As we get older, maybe a little easier on our knees. And I've said this kind of counterintuitive thing for a while because I got an e-bike, electric bike, probably 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago. And it has led me to be riding a bike a whole bunch. And I got it for like slipping around in the woods and doing off-road stuff like that. And you say, okay, why is the e-bike helping you? Well, if I got a regular, as he calls them, Amish bike, which he has a great selection of the non-electric bikes in stock, 400 at any time, I wouldn't ride it. I just wouldn't. The e-bike, you can set this e-bike. You can ride it all electric, but I set it on a thing called an assist mode. So if you're going up like a hill, you know, big hill, or if you're going through some soft sand or something like that on the dirt roads I ride, then it kind of kicks in and gives you a little bit of a boost. The rest of the time, I'm pedaling. So therefore, I ride more days and more often for longer distances because of the e-bike. It's the fact that it's an electric bike is actually the reason I get more exercise. So if you've been thinking about it, what you're going to do, maybe, hey, if you can get a non-e-bike and ride it all the time and do that, you're great. But if you're like me, you need a little incentive to make it fun. It does. It makes riding that bicycle fun. Go check out the great selection of e-bikes as well at Adventure Earth Bicycles. They're at the corner of right there at across from Ruth's Chris in Midtown at Little Flower and Airport. They're online at adventure-earth.com, where they have a buyer's guide for e-bikes, so adventure-earth.com. But see them in person. Go take a test ride. See what I'm talking about. The best bike shop in town, my buddy Clint Jamison at Adventure Earth Bicycles. Everything inside to get you outside. John, did you make any resolution, like for exercise or anything? Anything you can tell us for a New Year's resolution?
Very minor resolution this year. Improve on overall well-being and lifestyle in the coming year. I mean, nothing that is not unattainable. You know, some people are like, well, I'm going to,
I'm going to run a triathlon by June. Yeah.
France or, yeah. Right. Or something like, that just really isn't on target. So I keep them. Exercise does go with that. You know, I do play pickleball. I play it a lot and I enjoy it.
You don't just play pickleball. You don't just play, you win. He's an award-winning pickleball player, John Sharp.
Well, at any rate, be that as it may, I think the idea here, maybe this could be a message for your listeners, is to try and find something. You know, people go to the gym and they just dread it. But the idea is to try and find something that you really enjoy doing, exercise-wise. Yep. It could be hiking in the outdoors. You know, there's plenty of apps out there to try and find a place to go. It could be anything. It could be golf, you can just get out and move. I mean, that's the bottom line.
But 100% agree.
For me, it's been pickleball, and that's something that has been, very, it's just been wonderful. It's a fairly new game in popularity in this area, within the last 10 years. A lot of people are picking that up. And so that could be one option for folks. I mean, there's just a lot of different ways to go about doing that. And this is a good time of the year to kind of assess where you're at with your you know, just kind of physical health and well-being. I mean, you know, especially like, you know, it's been me or you in the past where it's like, I don't really want to go to the gym.
I don't. And I don't, you're spot on. And for some people, that's fine. But I really don't like to be around a bunch of people I don't know. So very strange doing what I do. But I like to go outside and walk. You know, I like to go outside, ride the bicycle, the e-bike. You know, those things are fun to me. I wouldn't go into a gym and ride a bike, but I sure as heck will go ride it around dirt roads in Mobile County.
Yeah, and I kind of like what I've really enjoyed about picking up with pickleball is that, you know, you get that little bit of a competitive juice flowing and something that you don't often get to experience if you're doing an exercise by yourself. And, you know, that's different people approach things different ways. I used to enjoy running a lot. I mean, I really did enjoy running a lot, but I felt
what's
like
wrong
I
with you?
Battle with
what's
I know, but it's been years, you know, the older you get, it's kind of like, you have family and it just wasn't, you know, it wasn't, a lot of people are passionate about the running lifestyle in this area. You have wonderful weather for it. And, you know, you can pick up a 5K at any time you want. You know, that's perfect for a lot of people. You just have to find your right niche, I think. And again, this is the time of year to really think about that. And, you know, I wish everyone well on that because that is a, you know, just kind of improving your overall well-being really starts with just getting out and being more active.
100% agree. By the way, too, I noticed this as our representative for Big Ten football, and I follow you on Twitter. I watched you put this up last night. Indiana winning by punting and special teams, whether folks like it or not down here, this is where Big Ten football just overtook the others. No disagreement for me, John. And first of all, yes, it was self-serving. I was cheering for Indiana last night because they beat my Crimson Tide so badly. I wanted to feel better about it. But it's a story, you know, like I've said about Philip Rivers going back to play in the NFL. It's like a Disney movie. This is kind of a Disney movie, too. I like these kids. I mean, they whipped my Tide, but I like these kids.
Yeah, you know, hearing too many people say bad things about Mendoza. He seems like a good kid.
Gosh, he seems like the greatest guy ever. He's tough and balanced and good. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And, you know, we're always looking for that next Kurt Warner story. You know, the guy that comes out of nowhere and becomes a superstar, wins a Super Bowl. And here, yeah, Mendoza, he didn't win the Super Bowl. He won the national championship. I think it's a bigger deal if you think about it because of all the – you know, taking Indiana from a rags to riches story. And of course, you know, the skeptic in all of us can say, well, this is a product of the NIL and the new era of college football. And there's some truth to that.
Sure.
But also, they turned it around quickly. And
2 years?
Phenomenal coach. Yeah, two
wow.
years. They have a phenomenal head coach. You know, he has an Alabama background there as well. And, you know, yesterday I was watching the game and there was that Big Ten football aspect to it. The, you know, getting the punt, pinning the offense deep inside the end zone, you know, the special teams, the punt block. I mean, these little things and they add up to big things. And you know, if your offense is not, the Indiana offense was very effective all year, as you know, Alabama fans well know that. But last night, it seemed to be a little bit stagnant, a little struggling a little bit. So you take these little things that are called intangibles in the game of football, and that's really where Indiana was able to, hone in and win the football game, in my opinion. I mean, the punt block was everything. It was great. It was a great game.
And going for it on fourth with a quarterback keeper? I mean,
fourth and five?
Geez Louise, yep. The guts. Yep. I love it.
Yep. It was a great game, and you know, there was a couple games this year. Indiana, you know, had they lost, would they even made the playoffs? And they were close to losing to Iowa. They were close to losing to Penn State. And both those teams had opportunities to beat Indiana. But that's woulda, coulda, shoulda. In the course of a season, you know, rarely does a team blow everybody away and waltz right into the national championship. That's probably a thing of the past in the NIL era. So you're going to have to – you know, the head coaches that can to you know, get their team through those type of grind out gritty games, the team that's going to, you know, kind of assist them battle of survival, I think. And that's kind of where Indiana wound up this year. And the playoff this year was, you know, there's a lot of really good games. I know a lot of people complain about that, but, you know, about the new structure of college football.
Yeah, and playing on a Monday night. Yeah, that...
Well, yeah, that's one thing. But, I mean, you know, just, you know, the putting James Madison in the playoff, I've heard a lot of complaints about that, and I get that. I think there'll be rooms for improvement going forward. But it was, I thought the postseason, it was kind of exciting this year.
I agree. All right, then the gridiron of Goat Hill and this it's not expedited session because they are going to fit it into the time allotment, but they're trying to get, you know, they got started early, trying to get done to campaign. You know, we've got that May 19th primary coming up. The only thing they have to do up there are the budgets, which always get left till seemingly the end. But speaking of budgets here, you got a story and update here on the SSUT and this, you know, court challenge and what could happen here for the budgets. What's up? Where are we now? What's the latest?
So it came up in a legislative budget discussion. The first one of the session was last week, and it came up. A couple of comments were made about, you know, where are we at with this and that sort of thing. And basically the idea, you know, the comments that came from the governor's staff, and they're being very careful about this because this case, you know, the questions about SSUT are now going before and moved into the judicial branch. I mean, it's in the court system now. There's a lawsuit that was filed by the city of Tuscaloosa, in which the city of Mobile is now also a member, a party of as well, challenging the SSUT, the internet sales tax, the way the revenues are divided. The claim from the large cities is it's unfair, you know, that they're not getting their piece of the pie because a lot of online sales occur in their cities. So that's the lawsuit. That's where we're at right now. The suit is against the Alabama Department of Revenue, and the state's county commissions are also involved. So you basically have this big heavyweight battle between the large cities in Alabama. Not all of them, though. Birmingham and Huntsville are not part of it, but most of the larger cities in Alabama against the Department of Revenue and all 67 counties in the state. And then there are some little, 140 municipalities as well that are supporting. They do not want the status quo to change either. The status quo being this 8% sales tax on online sales. So that's the legal issue right now. Now, it went before, it's in also an issue that could go before the legislative branch. I don't anticipate anything significant coming out of this session because of this court case, but still it's going to be a topic of discussion throughout the session. There was a little bit, I thought, maybe what you would call needling about this issue, kind of like, well, you know, there's a lot of money here at stake. This is the fastest growing revenue source into the general fund. If we lose that, we're losing a significant amount of money. This is going to be a big concern looking forward. There's a lot of obligations that are unknown waiting on the state of Alabama, all states in the country, in regards to the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, in which, you know, we don't know how much additional funding there or money will be required out of states to continue funding the SNAP program and other programs such as that. So, the questions are, you know, if you take this revenue stream out of the general fund, you know, then what? And that was just kind of that concern that was elevated last week in Montgomery. And I'd expect that to be vocalized a few more times during committee meetings, perhaps even on the Senate or House floors. But I don't, on the legislative side of things, because this issue is currently in the courts, I don't anticipate any large or significant bill moving through, but that's not to say that might not happen. I just don't anticipate it.
Okay, just a couple minutes left here, but I do want to, I heard Chairman Wall on with Jeff Poor earlier talking about the Fairhope Library and the books and all that, and so I heard his take, but you have a piece over at AL.com talking to Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan about it, and she said, you said here, her city did not get a fair opportunity to explain decisions about book placement.
Yeah, I think that, you know, she's not coming out and saying that, you know, it was, the meeting was inappropriate or anything. Her comment was essentially, you know, the folks from the Fairhope Library went up there and they didn't really know what the format would be for them to speak in regards to the books that were at issue. I think there was 10 to 12 books that Chairman Wall was supposedly reading over the holidays to see whether or not they violated.
I'm just picturing that. I'm sorry.
Right. What she said, there were some good books there with good literary value, but they violated the APLS code definition of sexually explicit. The argument from the Fairhope Library folks is, well, you're not taking the books in its totality. These books are geared for a certain audience. They're geared more towards a teen audience. And, you know, that's their argument. But then I think, you know, during the meeting, it was a very tense meeting. It was a long meeting. But Chairman Wall asked the Fairhope board members to defend those books right then and there. And I think you only had one board member there, Randall Wright. And then you also had the library, the director of the library up there as well, Rob Gourlay. But other members of the library board were not there. What the library board did over the summer is they divided up the books that were challenged in Fairhope, and each one of them were given an assignment. You know, you read this number of books, you read these books, you read these books. Not all those library board members were up there. So some of the, you know, clearly, you know, one library board member is not going to be able to sit there and defend all the books that were at issue because she probably didn't read them all. Other library board members did, and I think that's where Mayor Sullivan was coming in with her concerns, is that they did not know that format. They did not know exactly what they had to do.
So it was like a semantic
library board. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was her concern, you know, with regards to that. And I think it was that concern was also expressed during this board meeting last week. And again, it was a tense meeting. It was it's a tense issue. You're talking about removing funding from a library that, you know, one of the more popular ones in Baldwin County. And today is my understanding the courier service was halted. A decision that was made by the Baldwin County Commission or by the Baldwin County. And it has, it wasn't really a vote of the county commission per se. It was just a decision that, well, if the state funding has been rescinded, and the courier service will rescind as well. That is my understanding. I got to look a little bit more into that, but that was that came out earlier this morning. So, the library board doesn't meet until early February, and so it'll be interesting to see what their next steps are in all this. I know it's just been a long process. You know, they have the funding really to withstand the state cuts for the next 2 to 3 years. They got a substantial donation.
That's what I was saying. They're making more from private
month.
Private donations. They got, 98,000 versus 42 that they get from the public sector.
That's correct. But I think the concern is the operations going forward of the library. You take away the courier service, and what does that mean? There's just some concerns there. And that all really boils down to 10 books now. And but I think it's a little bit more than just that. I think it's, you know, the Fairhope Library Board, they have a process they've long gone through. And I think, you know, they were frustrated, confused, aggravated in regards to the changes that have come down from the state that have occurred within the last 2 years. And, you know, the state is, and there are also, you know, there's some claims too that, hey, you know, some of these books have not been relocated in other libraries. You know, we're being targeted because, you know, you have certain watchdogs in our community that are, you know, singling out, you know, where the books are placed in our library. And you don't have that in other libraries in the state, but they can get away with it. So, you know, what's good for the goose doesn't seem to be good for the game, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where their arguments are as well. It's a lot of, you know, one side versus the other. It's very much, and then John Wall, you know, he has his viewpoints very strong. Fairhope Library Board has their very strong viewpoints, and you got Read Freely Alabama that's involved, and Clean Up Alabama that's involved. So there's a lot of different voices in this story that has been for a while.
John, people want to read obviously more on this over at AL.com if they want to keep up with you, whether you're talking about football or news stories or all that. How do they find you online?
Yeah, at JohnSharp99.
Good stuff.
On the socials.
Good stuff. There he is, John Sharp, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
Trucks is now open in Mobile. Pickups, vans, box trucks, dump trucks, all types of work trucks. Work Trucks has what you need when you need it. Visit online at WorkTrucksLLC.com. That's trucks with an X. Or see us at 7320 Airport Boulevard. Work Trucks. Trucks with an X.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
We're trying to get to a few texts here before the news. And when we come back to Carson Taylor, local homegrown comedian, getting ready to shoot a special. That's a big thing when you're a stand-up comic, shooting a special right here in his hometown. Mobile, we'll talk to him in just a little bit. All right, Michael, fun fact. Well, it's a fun fact. So the fun fact, it's been 100 days since the Gaza ceasefire, and it's been documented that Israel has killed at least 100 children since then. Y'all seen the pictures of Gaza? After, you know, now more pictures coming out. I guess if they're going to put this Las Vegas by the sea or whatever Trump had talked about, they've done a lot of demolition work already, huh? Yeah, that's gallows humor I'm doing, y'all. I take it seriously here. Let's see. Speaking of kids, Marty says we need to stop calling them kids. When I was their age, I had a full-time job, mortgage, kids, and a couple of car payments. They're not kids, Sean. They're grown blank men earning a living. Yeah, but you look at, and Marty, when the helmets come off, like I was watching last night, sometimes the helmets come off and you're like, oh, there's a, looks like a 40-year-old Viking, you know, or just a grown blank man, right? And then sometimes it comes off, you say they're big, but it's still a kid. I don't know, some of the, sometimes it's like the great reveal to pull the helmet off. You're like, oh, okay, they look like a college kid, or oh, they look like they're out of the Conan the Barbarian movie. Let's see. I don't know. I'd have time to get to this. What is this? Geez, you guys, where are you from? Geez, you guys are definitely telling the public that our government is a corporation and only corporation. The Department of Revenue is getting sued by the municipalities. They're all in the same state. The state is the state, how one entity sue itself. Oh, yeah, you guys already answered the question. They're not one government entity. They're a bunch of small corporations feeding on the population. Yeah. I do like the geez, you guys. Yeah, Fire Dog says, is it still a public library if it's being publicly or being funded privately? I don't know. You know that, but it was interesting to see that they normally get $42,000 in funding from the state, and they got $98,000 from private donations. Would there be, are there private libraries? I don't know if that's a thing, huh? This, Joshua says, Candace Owens and AOC are easy on the eyes but hard on the ears. Candace may be nutty, but believe her nuttiness. AOC is a nut, but also lies. All right, coming right back, Carson Taylor joins us. We'll get more of your text and calls at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Good time to check in with my buddy Blaine at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. New year, same great deals, man. Even more. You talked about skid steers. We've got a few of those used skid steers available. You got my attention. What you got in stock?
We do, Sean. Well, not only do we have the new ones, we have the used ones as well that some guys traded in right here at the end of last year. We got open cabs and enclosed cabs in the 97, the 75s, and the 65s available right now. So if you're out there, you can't justify going and buying a brand new one, we do have options, whether it be purchasing one for a little less money being used, or if you're looking to rent one, we've got a whole fleet to rent from as well.
Tell you what, that's what I did, and I'm looking to do again in the near future because get so much work done with those, and it's amazing. So, I mean, you do have, if somebody says, well, I'm not in the market for a new one, but I seem to be renting one so often, you've got some options in between there for us with a better deal on a pre-owned one.
We do. And like I said, we got enclosed calves and open calves in our used inventory right now. I know we got one or two of the 97, SDL 97-2 enclosed calf high flow machines. We got one SDL 75 high flow machine enclosed calf. And I believe we got three or four of the SDL 75 open calves and 65 open calves. All used, just traded in at the end of last year on a new machine. So we have these available. If you're in the market for one of these, please give us a call and we'll get you fixed up.
Good stuff. All right, do this. Tell folks how to find you and talk about the website too. I may or may not spend part of my working day looking at y'all's website with the inventory.
Yeah, so we're right here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale on Highway 59. We're here Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. You can give us a call at 251-947-4171 and visit us online at parrishtractor.com.
Good stuff. Blaine, we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, there goes Blaine over at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. And, yeah, I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, and joining us, and good to get this man on the show. And it's neat because our worlds had, I guess, been close together back in the past and now coming together again. His name is Carson Taylor. He's a Mobilian, and he's getting ready to film a comedy special right here in town. Joins us now from on the road, because that's what y'all do, right? I mean, y'all stay on the road. Carson.
Oh, yeah. We try to stay on the road as much as possible. How you doing, Sean?
I'm good. Give me that, like, that kind of work schedule. I mean, a lot of travel. Do you try to, like, bands do, where they, like, okay, if they're going to be, you know, whatever, they're going to be in New Orleans and then they're going to be in Tallahassee, they're going to try to do a stop in Mobile. Do you do that, like, with comedy?
Yeah, all the time. I mean, it's a lot of traveling. I mean, until this tour, I was doing a lot of one-nighters where I would just go to a place for one show and go back home. So this is my first time doing a month-long stretch since, like, 2017.
Is that when you started this? I was wondering, like, when did you, you know, we were talking the other day, but when did you start thinking about doing stand-up and then actually go do the thing?
Well, so I started because Zeke Buchholz, who owns the Crescent Theater, he started doing comedy, and I would go and watch him and support him, and he would constantly be in my ear trying to convince me, like, man, I really think you could do this. And I was like, I don't know. I'm a musician. I play music. He's like, I really think you could do this. And then finally he convinced me, and on October 8th, 2014, I signed up for my first open mic, and I've been doing it ever since.
This is cool, too, because you and Zeke went to high school together, right?
Yeah, we've been best friends since ninth grade.
Okay, were y'all, because this people wonder, too, were y'all, like, the funny guys back then?
We probably thought we were. I don't know how everybody else felt about it.
Did y'all amused each other, right?
Yeah. We were in a band for years in high school called Shropshire before we ever started doing comedy, so.
Then you went and said, okay. This is one thing, though, I think about from, I'm a big fan of both things, of music and of spoken word for stand-up. You know, if you're in a band, you think about, Skinner could show up and people want to hear the same song they've heard 50 times, right? Whatever band it is, you want to hear that. With stand-up, you don't have that. You can't, like, say, yeah, here's the song. I'm going to tell you all the same jokes I told you last time. They don't want that. They want new stuff.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, it's hard to build new material constantly in comedy. I mean, it's usually you slide things in and out as time goes on, you know. It's hard to make an abrupt change every month or two, you know. But, yeah, I mean, I have, like, one joke that people will request from me, and that's my joke about blaxploitation movies.
Which is...
So that's, like, my one.
Which, okay, so I didn't know that. I hit upon that when you and I were talking. I was watching some of your stand-up, and you started talking about blaxploitation movies. This is you and I are difference in age by many decades here. That's what about, like, if I'm going to sit still and watch television, which is not an easy thing, you can get me to watch Kung Fu movies and blaxploitation movies. Those are two of my favorites. So you, at your young age, are still a fan of blaxploitation. What, like?
Oh, yeah. I love them.
Okay, so what do you love about them? I mean, I like the clothes, but go ahead.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, musically, everything about it, I just love how stylized the 70s was. Like, everybody had style. You know what I mean? Everybody was trying to have style. And so there's a style of the 70s and an attitude that I really just appreciate and enjoy.
Now, that, and I like the fact that you had that style, but that style didn't keep you from doing kung fu. You know, a lot of times there was a snub-nosed 38, and then some general kung fu karate moves would come out.
Yeah. Which I just think that's cool. Like, why not, you know, put it all together?
They did, and it was genius. Yeah, I don't want to ruin the joke, but you have a joke about this, and a word, we'll just say the word Jack, right?
Yes,
that is so. You're spot on with that. When did it go from being, you know, like with you and Zeke and all that? There goes from being funny, being kind of an entertaining person, making your buddy laugh or whatever, to putting that in the form of a joke. There's a difference between, like, a running commentary, right? That's kind of easier comedy, that something's going on and you're busting on it, versus now I'm going to tell y'all something that's going to make you laugh. Get ready, here it comes.
Yeah, it definitely takes some time to figure out. Like, I've always told comedians that are getting on stage for the first ever time or trying out at an open mic when they ask me advice, I always tell them, like, you should try to start off just telling funny stories. Because something that truly happened to you, you have the memory, you know everything about it. And if the story's funny, people will see that, and then you'll figure out what's funny about it and where the jokes are within it as time goes on. That's usually my advice to people is, like, start off with stories, and you'll figure out how to write jokes within that, in my opinion.
Okay, so
it doesn't work for everybody, but...
But generally, most of the time, does. And yeah. Let's talk about that part, though. You're telling a story, you're telling jokes. You know, this is that craft. I mean, I just really admire what y'all do and watch a lot of it. You know, by the time we're going to talk about your special, you've got stuff winnowed down. You've got the, you know, you've got this, you know these are killers. But you had to get there by some things not killing, right?
It's a majority of failure in stand-up comedy to get to the parts of success that you have, for sure.
Like, did you ever go, like, were you ever surprised? Like, you told something that you're like, I'm going to try this one out tonight as an open mic or whatever. I'm going to try this one out. I'm not really sure about it, and it kills. Or this thing is a laser, and the room goes quiet.
Yeah, I try to never assume anymore that something is going to be great because I have shot myself in the foot way too many times doing that.
So you did have that. You, like, walked in like, when I do this one, I'm going to crush. And then you're like, hey, didn't y'all hear what I just said? That was funny.
Oh, yeah. I mean, sometimes you can get too confident about a joke that it'll work 100 times. And then on 101, you're just like, I got this. And they're like, nope. No, you don't.
That keeps you on your feet. And then over time, I guess, you know, you get ready for, like, this special. And it's kind of, you know, you've got, how long is the special? You doing 30 minutes? How long are you doing?
I'm probably going to perform for about 40 minutes, but the finished product that'll be put out will be about 30.
Okay. So does that change your vibe versus being, like, knowing that it's being filmed, knowing that this is, you know, this is the special? I mean, I'm not trying to mess with your head, but I'm going to mess with your head.
No,
this is like, you know, this is like a championship game right here.
Yeah. I'm doing it on my 32nd birthday, which I'm like, why did I put this much pressure on myself? But, yeah, I'm just going to try to treat it like it's any other gig and just, you know, stay loose and stay, you know, the amount of confidence that you need to perform well, but not too much to, you know, mess it all up.
Okay, so how do you do the, I'm going to kind of delve a little bit into your personal life, because, you know, and I picked this up from watching your comedy. Getting sober, right? This is, while it is a well of information, you know, I've told people, like, if I'm not drinking beer, I can hardly play pool. You give me a few Coors Lights and I'm like Minnesota Fats. Well, not that, but you know what I'm saying? Like, drinking gives me a little bit more flow for shooting pool. What about that for comedy? Did you have to separate it, or was it not a problem? What'd you think?
The first 3 to 6 months felt strange. I felt like I was a little reserved on stage, or like I didn't, like, it felt like there was a little bit of edge gone, but then you realize that it's all mental, you know what I mean? And nothing's actually happening. There's nothing holding you back. If anything, alcohol was holding me back, because since I quit drinking, I've gotten 10 times better at comedy. So it was
better for you. It wasn't something you had to overcome to not do it with a drink in your hand.
No, it was just being uncomfortable for about 3 to 6 months on stage until I learned how to perform sober. Yeah, I mean, 3 to 6 months, you know, after 12 years doesn't feel like that much.
Well, good. And congratulations on that and being able to pull it off. So that takes out my whole, you know, I talk about a lot of bands. I'm like, well, they had these great albums and they got sober and the albums weren't as good.
You know, in comedy, though, it's kind of the opposite, where it's like you look at Sam Kinison in the early part of his career. He's, you know, top 5 comic all time. And you look at the last 3 years when he's partying really hard and the material is just a huge decline.
It's a good point. Good point. All right. The special, too, and we'll hit this and we'll come back to it again. You're filming it here at the Crescent Theater. When is it and how can people participate?
It is going to be on my birthday, February 2nd, 2026. I'll be turning 32 that day. If you want to buy a ticket, and please do, go to crescenttheater.com. Tickets are available. I believe for general admission, it is $15. I have Zeke Buchholz, the owner of the Crescent, my best friend. He's going to be He's going to be hosting it. And then my other best friend, who is my roommate, Ryan D. Adams, is going to be the featured. They're both hilarious comics, some of the funniest people in the South, in my opinion. And so I definitely wanted to put them two on the show to, you know, showcase, you know, not only to, you know, I've always been a big believer that you want someone before you who kind of intimidates you a little bit. Like, my roommate is very, very funny, and every time I have to follow him, I'm a little nervous. So it's like I wanted to, you know, I like putting the pressure on.
No, I agree with that. In any kind of media, it's good to have somebody, you know, iron sharpens iron, or whatever we, you know, cliche we put there. But people can, I'm looking at the website now, so you can go there, you buy the tickets, and I guess we'll be there and the cameras will be on.
Yeah, yes, definitely. And yeah, it's going to be a good time. So I hope everybody can make it out to that.
Okay. I wanted to ask you this too. I asked Zeke about this, but like the scene, whether it is here in the Gulf region or the South, kind of where do you see us? You see us, because I told Zeke, I'm so old, I remember we had a comedy club and then I went off to college and came back and we didn't have a comedy club. Where do you see us now? We got a club again. Do we have something? Are there up and comers? Do we have, is there, I don't know, the word scene? I don't know. Is there something happening here?
Yes, this is honestly like the peak of everything we've done right now. Like, we're riding a huge high right now. We're very excited because when we first started in 2014, we had one open mic a week and one showcase a week. And now I'm running four showcases a month. I think we have five open mics in town. Zeke has the club. He's got great comics like Emo Phillips, and all these great acts are coming through the city. So this is for the entire Gulf Coast, like from Lafayette, Louisiana to Tallahassee, Florida. Like, Gulf Coast comedy is at its biggest and boldest right now. So yeah, we're all very excited and happy about it.
I, as a consumer, I am too. All right, so the show, February 2nd, Crescent Theater, to get your tickets. And you're like, where they find you online, socials, what do they look for?
Oh, yeah, I'm Carson Taylor Comedy on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, all that good stuff. And me and my girlfriend, Josephine Rivera, we also run comedy in town under the name Whippersnapper Comedy. So if you follow any of those, you know, you'll be able to get all the information you need.
All right. Break a leg. Hope to see you down there. And said I wouldn't do this, but tell your dad I said hi.
He's probably listening right now. You can tell him.
All right. Good job, Carson. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This WKRG News 5 update is brought to you by Mike Ward's Liberty Safes. You can buy a safe anywhere, but you can't get this kind of service anywhere. Buy from the folks you trust. Mike Ward's Liberty Safes, 471-1137.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Fun to go watch Carson down at the Crescent. That's coming up Monday, February 2nd, 7 o'clock for that taping going on down there. A special in his hometown, good thing. Hey, thinking about my buddy Jeff Stone at Stone Arms, I want to give you an update. So talk about Stone Arms and the process that was expedited when I went in a year and something ago. Fill out my forms to get my tax stamp, to get a green light, to have a silencer, suppressor, can, all those things. So this thing went down very quickly back then. And then, so some things have changed out there, and I was worried when the things had changed that it would be not as easy. Well, I got this post from Jeff. So, and by the way, Stone Arms, StoneArmsInc.com or Stone Arms Inc. on Facebook, you can see it. And he posted this up. He said, this was last week. He said, not to brag, but we have had over 40 Form 4 approvals. That's the tax stamp, right? Application for the NFA firearms tax. We've had 40 Form 4 approvals since January 1st. So in a week's time, they got 40 done, and they got the approval back. I used to kind of strut around because I got mine back in 2 weeks. They're getting them back in 48 hours sometimes now. And I was worried with the big, beautiful bill didn't remove the requirement for the Form 4, but they did take away the money, right? You didn't have to pay the $200. And I said, man, there's going to be so many people jump in here, I don't think the system will move as quickly. And I was wrong. It's moving fantastically. So not only is it 2 weeks, it might be 48 hours for you. So at Stone Arms, they have a great selection of silencers, suppressors, cans out there, which is cool too. You can go ahead and find the one you want that fits the rifle you want. Maybe while you're there, get a new rifle, get a handgun, get a shotgun. I've done all those. But you can get it and then put your application in. They got a computer there that's, they call it a kiosk. It's a computer on the wall, and you go through it and it doesn't let you mess up. Like, you put in your information, and because you know how federal forms are. If you didn't check this box or do this, it's messed up. It goes through and makes sure you do things correctly, takes your fingerprints right there, you get your passport type photo, and sends it off all as like one package to the feds. And obviously it's working fantastic now, and they're getting returns back in 48 hours. So instead of daydreaming, like I used to, like maybe one day I'll get all my stuff turned in and get one, go get it now and see the fun and the hearing protection of shooting with a suppressor. It's night and day, night and day. And if you say, well, I don't have a, you know, I have a rifle, but it's not threaded for that. Gunsmith there can do that right away. Take your favorite deer rifle or whatever you're using, have it threaded, and get the suppressor that goes with it. All that's in stock. Every accessory is in stock. And the folks are, well, this is what they do. They know this stuff inside and out. So Jeff and the whole crew at Stone Arms, go see them online, stonearmsinc.com, or see them in person. That's kind of the most fun to see them. They're just about a quarter mile west of Snow on Airport Boulevard. And tell them I said hello, or I may even see you in there. I may be stopping in there this afternoon. All right, to the text line here as we wrap up. Oh, you know what? B-Dark, you're right. B-Dark said she's that way with horseshoes. If I ain't drinking beer, I'm not worth a blank. That I don't know why that is. I'm sure there's some psychological thing. Like, shoot, I can shoot pull a little bit, like if I hadn't had a beer. And but there's something about, you know, a couple Coors Lights there, and now I hear that. It's in the way that you use it, you know, in the background, like, ah, now I'm gonna be a Minnesota Fats or Alabama Fats or something like that. I don't know. But good for Carson getting sober and still doing very funny comedy. It's a great thing. Haywood said that generation-specific dark humor on display freaks some folks out. Sean, I don't know which one that was. I'd have to go back. And I'll say this, Paul Feinbaum on the way next. Hey, coming up tomorrow, Cameron Smith joins us, Erica Thomas joins us. Also, Rodney Walker, he's running for Senate. It's one of the other names in the mix. We've talked a bunch about Marshall and Moore, some other names in the mix. And he is going to join us tomorrow at 1 o'clock to talk about his campaign for Senate here in Alabama. All right, y'all have a good one. Do it again in whatever, 22 hours, whatever it is. You do the math, and I'll be here.